Ideas matter. Ideas matter. This is Dialogue.
Hello and welcome to Dialogue. China and Pakistan maintain a highly cooperative relationship. Since the establishment of the new Shahbaz Sharif government in March, China and Pakistan have continued to deepen their cooperation in various fields while maintaining their traditional friendship. What is the state of relations now? What is the progress of the construction of the China-Pakistan economic corridor? How is China viewed on Pakistani social media? With these issues in mind, I'm very glad to welcome Rana Aradat Sharif Khan, member of the National Assembly of Pakistan, and Saeed Murtaza Mahmood, member of the National Assembly of Pakistan and also the Pakistan Foreign Minister of Industry. Welcome to Dialogue. I understand that this is your first trip to China. Yes. Tell us more about your trip and your impression. I will start with Mahmood.
Thank you very much for having us. This is my first trip to China. I always wanted to come to China, but unfortunately I couldn't. And then I became a minister as well. During that time, because of corona restrictions, I couldn't travel. But I always wanted to come to China, so I'm grateful to CPC for providing me this opportunity to visit China. It has been a great experience so far. We had a very productive discussion with expert on economy of China, so we understood the entire, you know, economy and the concept and the vision. So it was very overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Rana, you must have an image, you know, before you came to China, and then now you are really in China. What's the difference?
Well, the perception of China for me was always positive, and after coming it has even improved because the Chinese people are very friendly and caring, and the general environment here is very good, and we had some productive sessions with the expert on economy, and they have given some very positive insights to us which we can take back home.
And Mahmood, you know, like now is people say information age, it's easy to get information, but also it's easy to be misinformed sometimes, you know. I wonder, where did you get information about China? Well, you are in Pakistan. Like, is it from media, from people you have contacts with, or?
China is, like everyone knows about China in Pakistan, and it's discussed in all social circles, from schools, from universities. Everyone discusses China, and in a very positive manner, because, you know, the relationship which Pakistan and China has is very deep. And Pakistanis have always considered China as the elder brother and, as they say, iron brother. So we have a very deep relationship. So I've obviously researched on China online, met with Chinese people in Pakistan. So I've known China, but this is the first visit.
Mm-hmm. Rana, you know, like both of you are from the, say, you know, in China we all say like people born in the 1980s, I mean, the young generation, right? But now you are in the decision-making role in the parliament, you know, there's, I wonder what's your experience, you know, at such a young age, you know, with a lot on your shoulders, you know, to make decisions about the nation?
Getting elected to the parliament at a very young age, when I was elected, I was one of the youngest parliamentarians of the time in 2018, is a really unique privilege and a challenge as well, because conversing through the dynamic and complex landscape of Pakistani politics, it was a really steep learning curve. And our party leadership and the current Prime Minister Shahbaz Sharif, who was at that time the leader of opposition, he really took an interest in grooming the young, newly elected parliamentarians of that time. And after that, the seniors and the other senior parliamentarians, they also helped us navigate through this process. And we had to balance the complex and diverse needs of the electorate, building coalitions amongst different political parties for mutual benefit, because our principal concern here is to serve the people who elected us across the political divide. So that was a good experience, and we are looking forward to working on it.
Mm-hmm. So Mahmood, how do you see your experience? You know, what are the challenges of you know, working as MP?
In Pakistan, because this is my third tenure. So what I feel is that in Pakistan, unfortunately, the local body system is weak. So basically the MPs, members of the parliament, they have to take the burden of the district governments as well. So obviously we engage with our constituents on regular basis. We try to solve their issues, but hopefully one day we'll have a stronger local body system so the parliamentarians can focus more on the lawmaking rather than, you know, serving the constituents on the district level.
Mm-hmm. You know, we say young politician, usually we associated that, you know, age with this information, with social media. I wonder what kind of a role social media play in politics in Pakistan, because obviously, it has a role, a prominent role in many countries. You know, people express their opinions on social media, all kinds of opinions, you know, How does that affect politics?
Social media in Pakistan is very, very popular because we have a very young age population. 70% of our population is under 30. And there are 40 million mobile phones sold every year. So everyone has a mobile phone and social media has become very popular. Even though it's new, I think it will evolve eventually with time. It's new. For right now, we can even say maybe it has influenced people in a negative way, few people. But generally, I think it's very good because people are becoming aware of politics. They're becoming aware of things as well. So long term, it would be very good.
Mm-hmm. So Rana, do you agree? Do you think the information, you know, easily available, that fact serve the purpose of making things easier, you know, probably having everybody on the same page, or sometimes, well, of course, you know, with different opinions, it could make it more challenging?
Well, it goes both ways because social media is growing really popular in Pakistan, and due to the high level of internet and cell phone penetration, now everyone has access to the information. That gives a positive that the politicians and the political parties, they can reach a much wider audience than other forms of communication. However, that also, and it's a two-way communication, we can also hear from the general public their concerns, their issues, they can be easily identified to us and they can be solved. However, with such an access, there are issues such as fake news, and then there social media has also contributed to increasing to some sort political polarization in the country. And apart from them, the extremists, they can also use social media to magnify their opinion and use it for destructive purposes. However, we have to find a right balance between them to combat issues such as use of cyber bullying, cyber security, cyber terrorism, as well as fake news. So we need to find a right tip between freedom of speech as well as regulation to prevent these social ills.
Yeah, the balance. I bet you communicated with your constituency directly through social media on a daily basis.
Yes, we have social media teams, and then there are WhatsApp groups, and there's X, which is still commonly known as Twitter and Facebook. So people usually let them know their problems, and we also put our problems, videos and all that. So it's a two-way process, and it's a really interactive process which has made us closer to the people than we were ever before.
Mm-hmm. So Mahmood, you know, based on your interaction with your people, like, you know, what's their concern? What's their top concern in terms of the national development, in terms of their career, maybe jobs, you know, things like that?
I come from south of Punjab, the district called Rahim Khan. People over there, obviously, it's a backward area. They have a lot of issues. Employment is one of the main issues. Also development, because we are in the center of Pakistan, so we are far away from the capital of Punjab, which is Lahore. So we are a little less developed. So they face such issues, also education as well. So I try to represent them in the parliament, and I try to be their voice in the parliament.
Mm-hmm. Speak of economic development window, you know, the CPEC, yes. China-Pakistan Economic Corridor, is a flagship project of Belt and Road Initiative. You know, both China and Pakistan gave priorities of developing that project. But recently we do hear some of the, you know, there's a terror attack targeting the Chinese workers and also their Pakistani colleagues. Tell us more about that. You know, who are those people and why they are attacking engineers, you know, people who help build the project?
First of all, I would like to use this opportunity to condole and express my deepest condolences to the Chinese people for the attack that happened in Dasu, the workers who were working on the Dasu hydropower project. And this attack does not represent the manifestation of the vast majority of the people. China is very well liked by Pakistanis, and people have a very good relationship and very good opinion about China. However, you must understand that there is a lot of geopolitics involved in this process, where there are many states and non-state actors who are working against Chinese presence in Pakistan. So these attacks are the work of those who are not friends of Pakistan, because any Pakistani, any true Pakistani, a person who wants to see prosperity of Pakistan, would appreciate what China has done for Pakistan for all these years. And CPEC is a flagship project for the prosperity of the country. It will bring jobs, it will bring technology, it will bring infrastructure projects which will take Pakistan forward. So keeping that in mind, we would say that the government under the leadership of Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif is working to eliminate all the miscreants who have been hampering the CPEC with such cowardly attacks. And we have been improving security, and any security concerns which have arisen as a result of these attacks will be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean, you know, we understand that, you know, Belt and Road Initiative against the backdrop of the geopolitics, you know, some politicians, some countries are not welcoming the Belt and Road Initiative. Other countries could have this motivation, let's say, to disrupt the implementation of projects like CPEC, like other projects, yes, under Belt and Road Initiative. So, of course, you cannot just, you can never stop sometimes the collaboration, yeah, you know, domestic factors with outside factors. You know, what is the government doing, for example, to, let's say, providing probably safety to protect the engineers so we can implement those projects in a better way, in the smooth way?
Yeah. Of course, there are obviously geopolitical influence as well, but that is no excuse. I think the security is responsibility of Pakistan's government, and government has taken strict action, and they've made a plan as well to enhance the security, because that is number one priority for us, for the our brothers from China who are working in Pakistan. We have to make them feel secure, and we have to actually make them secure.
Mm. Well, is there anything like China and Pakistan at the government level or at even the military level to work together, yeah, you know, to make sure to solve this terror issue, like in a more effective way?
Well, there are intelligence sharing mechanisms between the two countries, where the threats which come to the knowledge of any of the country will be shared between the two of them. And then both countries and at high level and other security military level are working deeply to address all the issues which have hampered the security and caused attacks like these. And the Pakistani authorities, they are acting vibrantly to hold those who were behind this attack responsible for their actions and prevent such attacks from happening again.
Mm-hmm. There are, you know, solid cooperation between the two countries, in addition to, you know, I would say increasing people-to-people exchanges between the two countries. I've seen, you know, more and more delegations from Pakistan, for example,
yes,
and also from Chinese side to Pakistan. You know, we mentioned the biggest project, you know, CPEC. Where are we now about this project, Rana?
Well, the CPEC is moving really forward, and there were some obstacles, such as there was security concern, and then there were some bureaucratic delays, and then previously Pakistan had some economic issues as well. However, the government is working to remove these, as I have already mentioned security, so I won't be working mentioning that again. And to remove the bureaucratic hurdles, the government has created a special investment facilitation council, which will remove all the bureaucratic hurdles and other paperwork issues regarding CPEC, so which will actually create a more conducive business environment for Chinese companies and organizations working in Pakistan. And as the government is deeply committed to economic and structural reforms, so economy won't be an issue. And in fact, the CPEC will further supplement the economic growth of Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mahmoud, in what way do you see, you know, CPEC can provide help to development of economy of Pakistan?
I think CPEC will play a very vital role in Pakistan's future, obviously because of its connectivity. And I personally feel it will create new opportunities, It will obviously engage a lot of Pakistani young population as well and create employment. So Pakistanis are really looking forward to CPEC. And as my colleague mentioned, there were obstacles. Corona was also one of the major hurdles. During that time, there were travel restrictions. So now the new government is in place, and their number one priority is CPEC. And we will see a lot of progress with regards to CPEC.
Mm-hmm. You know, at least you know, in the recent past, I would say there were reports of like the shortage of electricity in Pakistan. But with we understand there are many facilities being built under CPEC. For example, hydropower station, you know, firepower station. What's the situation now in terms of providing the daily use of power, for example?
Power, we had power shortages in Pakistan. Now we have access power, but I personally feel that, you know, there were Chinese investments in the power sector, but Pakistan now is looking to, you know, we need reforms in the power sector. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have line losses. We have, there are many things required to be done in the power sector. So the government is focusing on that. And we are also privatizing many of the government-owned power plants. So a lot is being done in the power sector in Pakistan.
Related to that, you mentioned about this is the new government. So what is the priority? What are the priorities of, you know, rather of the government here?
I think the priority right now is firstly, you know, right now we were in a financial crunch. There was a tough financial phase. The first priority is to deal with the IMF. And after that, make a vision, make a plan for the next 10 years. And I think all parties from Pakistan, they'll agree on that. And we all have to sit down and make a vision for our country and follow that vision. Politics aside, but the country should progress.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, there are, you know, challenges, immediate challenges we need to deal with. I know there's negotiation with the IMF and long-term run, you know, in what way China can, you know, help with the economic development, with the social development in Pakistan?
Well, China has always been contributing to the long-term economic, social development of Pakistan. There are many sectors which China can help Pakistan achieve better efficiency, because under the new product forces idea of the President Xi Jinping, we have to have more quality products, and we have to have more efficient products. So we have to improve the quality and bring down the cost. So in the, as my friend colleague earlier mentioned, that the power sector of Pakistan, that China can help improve the efficiency over there. Apart from that, there is agriculture sector of Pakistan, and China is a global leader in food security. So China can help Pakistan with food security, achieving food security, new agriculture practices and everything that which will actually enhance the food security in Pakistan. And apart from then, there are other sectors such as renewable energy. Renewable energy is something which China has long been working on, and Pakistan, which faces a lot of climate change issues, will really benefit from renewable energy. And then there is defense cooperation, and apart from that, China has been helping Pakistan in other means such as cultural exchanges, cultural issues, and supported international institutions, including financial institutions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you said you have been to Xiaomi, you know, one of the phone maker in China, of course, along with Huawei and other phone makers here. You know, China is very strong in industrialization, in the manufacturing, for example, even with including, I would say, this new renewable energy, for example, battery, you know, EVs, yes, and solar panels. Do you think Pakistan can, you know, in a way to attract the Chinese investors and manufacturers, for example, to move some of the production, manufacturing in Pakistan anyway? You know, they are moving usually, you know, this is like a part of this global manufacturing migration, you know, from one part of the world to another part. Yes. Depends on the situation, right?
Yes, definitely, because Pakistan has much lower labor rates than China and many other Southeast Asian countries. So it will really help both of those countries to achieve economies of scale and cost efficiencies and quality output. If Chinese industries or some of the Chinese companies can shift their production to Pakistan, that will also create jobs for Pakistanis and help facilitate the industrial growth of Pakistan, in addition to bringing down the prices of the products, and China can easily export it as it has been doing in other countries as well.
Mahmoud, what would you say to the Chinese manufacturers, you know, to attract them, do investment in Pakistan?
Pakistan has great potential. Pakistan, as my colleague mentioned, we have cheap labor, number one. Obviously, we have to enhance productivity of the labor as well, but that can be done. So I personally feel if the Chinese manufacturers, they shift to Pakistan, they can take advantage of the cheap labor, then they have access to 240 million people, the huge market itself, and then they can export from Pakistan. So because of the Pakistan's geographical location, that's also that's a huge advantage. So I think Pakistan has a lot of potential because we have young population as well. So I would invite all Chinese manufacturers to, you know, consider shifting to Pakistan.
Yes, so this is a, like a promotion to Pakistan. Okay, let's shift a little bit to the Middle East. We know in Gaza there's the ongoing conflict. I wonder, you know, what's the government's position? What's the public's response to, you know, the conflict there?
Pakistanis generally are very, when they watch TV and then they see whatever Israel is doing in Gaza, they feel very sad and they feel heartbroken. And unfortunately, I feel that Israel in the Middle East is acting like a bully and is unfortunately supported by the West. So I think we, as Pakistanis, we strongly condemn Israel and we stand with our brothers from Palestine.
Mm-hmm. In Pakistan, the people and the government of Pakistan strongly condemn the genocide happening in Gaza at the moment, which is part of the Palestinian territories occupied by Israel. Pakistani people have deep-rooted historical and religious connection with the place, the Palestine itself, as well as the people. They are our Muslim brothers, and we deeply sympathize with their sufferings. And this occupation of Palestine has to end. There has to be a full stop to the occupation and the atrocities committed by Israel. And Pakistan demand that there a two-state solution in line with the UN resolution is established as at the earliest, because that is the only way to achieve peace in Middle East. Without two-state solution, there can never be peace in Middle East. So Pakistan has been working internationally, diplomatically, to ensure and to raise the voice of the two-state solution, which has been derailed for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mahmoud, you know, what we have seen in recent days, actually, you see the Israeli bombing of the Iranian embassy in Damascus, and then the Iran retaliated with more strikes there. Are you concerned that people in your country concerned that might be a spillover effects, you know, to the wide region, and then that would be, you know, region-wide conflicts over there?
The people in Pakistan, to be honest, are more concerned about Gaza and obviously Israel acting as a bully in the Middle Eastern region. But I think they should be stopped. We all have to unite and obviously stop Israel from, you know, using their mighty force against innocent people from Palestine. And now they have also attacked in Iran as well. So basically, I think the world has to get together and stop Israel.
Mm-hmm. Earlier you mentioned the West. You know, Rana, the West usually take, you know, versus the rest or the global South, the global majority. The global South has been a catchphrase in recent times. You know, people talk about that because in the global South sees things more, let's say, clearer picture, like either in Ukraine situation, in the Gaza situation. People do see this kind of practice of double standards, practice of basically hypocrisy, right? In Ukraine, you know, okay, there's a, you know, genocide, but in Gaza, nobody mentioned that word even in Western media. So what do you make of this, the rise, say, at least of the voice of the global South now?
Well, there is a need now more than ever for South-South cooperation. And because the Global South has been neglected for centuries and it has faced a lot of problems, even today it is facing problems of climate change more than the West. And then the voice, the issues of Global South are deeply neglected by the international media as well. So today the Global South needs to stand together to amplify their diplomatic voice at international financial institutions. We need a reform of international financial institutions and as well as the existing organizations so that the Global South is more adequately represented in accordance to the share of their population and their problems. We need cooperation in areas of food security, climate change, as well as in case of technology transfer, because the global powers, they have manifested and benefited a lot at the cost of Global South. So it's time that, especially in terms of climate change, that we get compensation for the climate change which has been caused by the industrial development elsewhere. And China, which has been not only an economic powerhouse, but it is also the leader of Global South, and it can use its economic, cultural, as well as diplomatic clout to lead the issues and solve the issues of Global South.
So, Mahmoud, basically a fairer and more balanced, let's say, global order.
Yes, I completely agree. As my colleague was saying, we are the majority. We represent majority of the population in the world. So, obviously, we have to be heard better. And I think China, for this, can play a very critical role. So, we have to cooperate more. We have to, for this, we have to get together.
Thank you, Rana. Thank you, Mahmoud. With that, we come to the end of today's show. Many thanks to our two guests from Pakistan. You can also find us on the CGTN app on YouTube. I'm Xu Qinduo. Thanks for being with us. See you next time.
A tale of love, peace, and friendship.
Dear Grandpa Tree, I wish that we could stay friends forever. Me, Dashen, and Haiyan.
Friends forever!
Friends forever!
Based on real events, Echoes of Ku Liang, a radio drama series, relates the warm and vibrant life stories of the Ku Liang friends set in the historical tapestry of the 20th century.
Match!
We'll gather the balls for you!
Let's see if we can catch some big fish and ask my mom to make some fishbowl soup tonight.
Do you guys know what I can do?
Bing, bing, an, an.
Ping, ping. Ping, an. Ping, an. Symbolizing being safe.
床前明